Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Well, at 4:07 p.m., Feliciano Lopez started his singles semi-final here at the Queen's Club against Felix Auger Aliassime. 6:23 p.m., he wins that singles semi-final. At 6:44 p.m., he resumes his doubles quarter-final alongside Andy Murray against Dan Evans and Ken Skubski. 6:57 p.m., he wins that match. 7:08 p.m., he starts his doubles semi-final, also alongside Andy Murray, taking on the third seeds, Henry Kontinen and John Peers. And at 8:51 p.m., he wins that double semi-final and makes it through to the singles and doubles final. I know the story should be Andy Murray, but it's not. It's Feliciano Lopez. This is the Tennis Podcast. Myself, David Law, Matt Roberts. We are in the Putney Exchange of the Queen's Club Media Workroom. The air conditioning unit is whirring.
Yeah.
All is well.
It is.
It's going to be a magical finals day. I mean, we all thought the fairy tale was going to be Andy Murray, and it is. It just turns out there's a bigger fairy tale in town.
As long as you can get up in the morning. I mean, could you imagine? Could you imagine trying to come wake up and be loose after that? I don't know. In all the years I've worked in tennis, I've never seen anything quite like that before that we had today.
Did I mention that he's 37? I didn't mention that he's 37. He's 37.
Minor episode.
And he's sort of already started his post-retirement second career.
He's an existing tournament
director.
This
is his sideshow.
Yeah. And he's not, like, he's not walking around saying he's tired or anything. He came bounding through our office after he did his press conference in the tournament dressing. He goes, "Stephen," and Stephen's like, "How are you doing this?" We had genuine words that we said to him.
What he's having.
How are you doing this, man? And he said, "I don't know." he said, "But it's good, and I'm going to carry on." And but I mean, a couple of things struck me watching him today is he is made of granite, that guy. And I know that people are, over the years, will talk about how much he likes looking in the mirror. The players are often said that sort of thing about him, but he is nails. I mean, out there he was just prepared to run over hot coals to win those matches. And the way he just sort of said, "I tell you what, keep your seats, I'll be back in 10 minutes after the first match."
And it wasn't even 10 minutes.
No, it was six minutes. We know this because we were caught on the hop by it all.
Did someone have the shower running for him? Was somebody assigned to the job of getting the shower warm for Feliciano Lopez so he could just step into it and step out of it like Superman in a phone booth?
What happened in that first match? You two need to take this story away, because I did not, or rather the first Feliciano Lopez match of the three, because I didn't see any really of the Auger Aliassime match. And really, I'm very surprised by the scoreline, because didn't Auger Aliassime win the first set?
He did.
He did, and he hadn't lost serve in the whole tournament going into the match, didn't lose serve in the first set, and was the better player, to be honest. But a little bit like in that Miami semi-final that Auger Aliassime had, his ball toss started going all over the place. And it's almost his tell, I think, that he's a little bit nervous. and he didn't quite just push on in that second set. And once Lopez got it, you thought, well, he's got all the experience. He's the one who knows how to close matches. And he just rode that wave that he seems to be on at the moment, and there was no stopping him.
Yeah, today, it's just such a... It's such a sort of lesson in numbers and statistics and logic almost being irrelevant at times in sport, because he's just riding something that's almost sort of ethereal, really. Feliciano Lopez, you know when you do your stupid pole vaults on Twitter and you say head not heart, as if
look on yours,
as if only what your head says is relevant, which, you know, look, I'm the biggest proponent of logic probably in this room, but
you're saying I'm illogical.
I'm saying you like a pole vault, and nothing about that seems logical to me. But anyway, I digress. It's just a tremendous advert for everything that's great about sport, which is that it's not about the numbers and the stats and, you know, the win predictor.
Whatever that is.
Yeah, because the win predictor wasn't saying that Feliciano Lopez would be in the singles and doubles final at the start of this week.
What makes it extra special?
Not that there was a win predictor, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, what makes it extra special, I think, is the fact that he does it as a serve and volleyer, and he just keeps marauding in towards the net, and he never doubts it.
And how much he loves this place. Mm. Like, he's won 3 singles matches all year, right? And
is that right?
Yeah, and yeah. he's turned up here.
But he's not been getting into draws because his rankings drop so much.
And he's turned up here, and it's like 2017 again. It's just brought out the best tennis about him, and it's this grass court tennis that we don't see from other players.
And I think Felix Auger-Aliassime was completely bamboozled by that.
Yeah, because people don't do that.
He was like a newborn chick going, what is this sport that this human being is playing? I have never seen this before.
And throw in the lefty angles. I mean, he's played a few lefties, I looked, this year. But Nadal, completely different to Lopez. Shapovalov, his mate, doesn't really count. Albert Ramos-Vinolas, completely different to Lopez. It's just a completely different look that Lopez was giving him. And, he won the first set, so you kind of think, well, maybe he did adapt it, but the longer it went on, sort of the more time he had to think about it and the more it got in his head, I think.
It was the first time this week and possibly this year, although this week is the closest I've watched him all year, possibly but that run in Miami, but the first time this week that I'd seen him look like a teenager. It was still only flickers of it, still not anything like what you might expect from somebody of his inexperience, but there was the odd moment where, you know, the shoulders shrugged and he did a sort of gesture.
He was flustered by the fact that it wasn't working.
Mm. And it wasn't working on big points. I think yesterday, didn't he save something like 7 out of 7 break points against Tsitsipas? And today he couldn't take any of about 9 break points he had against Lopez.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if Felix Auger-Aliassime is the toughest opponent that Tsitsipas has ever faced, what is Feliciano Lopez? Has Tsitsipas ever played Feliciano Lopez?
I don't know. I might have to look that up.
I mean, if he's any... Yeah, I don't think so.
When I look at Lopez on the court side, when he's playing like that, and he was dressed all in white, I mean, perfect Wimbledon white. It was like, I'll tell you what, forget the normal clothes, I'll just pack my Wimbledon clothes and wear those at Queen's as well. And he's got the white headband, and he's got the slightly wet hair slicked back, and it's all down his back, and the perfectly tailored outfit, turning his sort of shoulders and waist into this sort of triangle. I mean, how do you look like that when you're 37? It's ridiculous. But I was looking at him and thinking, he looks like somebody out of one of those fantasy movies, you know, like, I don't know whether it would be Lord of the Rings or something. He doesn't look like a human. I don't know.
Not sure how closely you've watched Lord of the Rings, David.
Is that the wrong one? You know what I mean, though.
You're thinking, they're all a bit more swarthy.
Are they?
In Lord of the Rings, I would say.
Is he too clean-shaven for that?
Too clean-shaven.
Right.
Your Aragorns, etc.
Okay.
Have a swarthy vibe about them.
Yes.
I see what you mean, though. In spirit, yes, absolutely. Because, but for the clean shavenness, it was swashbuckling,
yes,
wasn't it?
That's exactly what it was. He'll play these rallies against this incredibly talented baseliner of 18 years of age who just bounds around the court and makes covering ground look like nothing.
Mm.
And yet Lopez is still like, I don't care, mate. I'm coming in.
So Lopez wins that one in three sets and then says, oh, I'd like just a little break, 10 minutes.
Well, the conversation's going on backstage. We're comical. I told you last night how he told our tournament director, Stephen Farrow, that I'm happy to just go straight back out onto the court if I win, because I know you want to try and keep it on the telly. We didn't. But anyway.
Yes, you did.
All right. BBC telly. We tried, but we failed. It went on the red button. And it
Toy
was
Toy Story 2 is a good movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good, yeah. And obviously, Catherine and Amazon Prime Video were with us till the end, and it was fantastic. We went down there, and they said to Feliciano, are you sure you've just played how many hours was it? 2 hours something? In that match against an 18-year-old, are you sure you're happy to come straight back out? And he said, yeah, no problem. I'll just go up, get a shower, and I'll come back. And he did that once, and then the second one, he didn't even leave the court.
No.
He just had a chit-chat with Andy Murray, didn't he? And
amazing.
Off they went.
And don't they say that the most dangerous doubles player is the singles player that's already played that day? Because they've got their eye in on return, and they're seeing the ball big. People say that, don't they? And
Catherine and I are looking at each other like, they say this, do they? Because we've never heard of it, and it makes total sense.
Okay, well, then I say it. And it was true, because Lopez, I mean, as great as Andy Murray was, Lopez was...
Oh, he's the best guy on the court.
The best guy on the court.
Yeah.
He was just in the zone for both matches. His returns, I thought at the start of the week, I thought that it was a questionable decision to put Lopez on the deuce side. So he was hitting backhands as a lefty. But it's been an absolute revelation. His single-handed backhand topspin in doubles, whereas in singles, he's just slicing it all the time.
Or hitting the
backhand,
the sort of stadium outskirts.
Yes.
Just sub note to that is that he confirmed, Andy Murray did today, in press, that he'll be playing on the deuce court.
Correct.
With Pierre Hugerbert.
Yes,
okay.
That's right. He did say
and
that.
And who knows what court he'll be playing in with mixed doubles partner TBA.
Mixed doubles partner TBA, yeah. I got the sense that, you know, he might be thinking about somebody, and he kind of wants to tell us who he is, but, you know.
I've apologies to anybody that was watching this on Prime Video earlier, because I'm going to recycle a line that I used on air that I'm just really proud of.
Go on, then.
So... he's sort of taking part in a tennis version of The Bachelor, isn't he?
Going round.
Just having women pitch to be his.
Oh, my goodness. Right. Well, do you know how the Feliciano Lopez combination came about? Do you know whose idea that was?
Was it yours?
Was it yours?
It wasn't actually. It was Stephen Farrow's.
Oh.
Because I heard all the conversations going on, and there were various people that couldn't do it. And Stephen just goes, what about Feliciano Lopez? and the next thing we know,
they're winning the title.
So, yeah.
Wow.
There we are.
And, well, and Murray next week's playing with Mello in Eastbourne, and they've got Cabal and Farrow again in the first round.
And Lopez has drawn Pierre Hugerbert in the singles first round.
Cabal and Farrow sounds like a clothing line, doesn't it?
Yes.
Right. So
they're yesterday's news, David. You needed that line 2 days ago.
Only just occurred to me.
Have you got a line about Evans and Skubski, or Conton and Piers, or Salisbury Ram?
Salisbury is an interesting player, isn't he? Because I honestly didn't really know who he was. Obviously I've known all of his results, and I've seen his results, but I kind of like haven't clapped eyes on him in person before this week, I don't think. I've seen matches on telly, but, you know, sometimes you can't necessarily know what somebody looks like that close up.
No, I said the words, "Who's that bloke with Rajiv Ram?" earlier this week.
I was
said no one ever.
Yeah,
I know Rajiv Ram. I'm all over. I'm all over that.
The only time I saw him on the telly previously was in Dubai when Ram and Salisbury won the title, and they do the ceremony there with the singles and doubles finalists together. So he went on with Federer and Tsitsipas after the final, and he literally looked like the sort of bloke who'd won the award to be on court with Federer and Tsitsipas. He was completely sort of starstruck by it all.
I think the only match, I watched him on TV, I'm fairly sure I watched him on closed circuit TV, because it wasn't, you know, like, I think it was one of those...
You've been stalking Joe Salisbury.
It's one of those US Open matches where he's on court 18, and you know when you're in the media centre and they've just got this single stationary camera that is attached to a light, you know, like a great big street light or something. So, I didn't know too much about how he looks.
The reason we're talking about them, folks, is that they're in the doubles final, having beaten the Bryan brothers, the four-seeded Bryan brothers, in two tie-break sets.
It's a heck of a result, isn't it?
Yeah, I have to say I didn't see anything of it.
It was on the other court, and you were obviously...
Yeah, purely on paper. That's brilliant. It's a great result.
It's an amazing win, It means that the final will only be 25% metal hip rather than 50% had
I'd have loved
Bob Bryan
50%
and
metal
Andy
hip.
Murray got
Sorry.
There.
Yeah.
What if I told you that Joe Salisbury's from Putney?
Is he really?
Yeah.
Catherine's favourite player?
He's my Kuzmova. Is he up and coming?
Who's my Kuzmova? Have I got one?
Dan Evans.
Yeah.
All right. Dan, so Joe Salisbury and Rajiv Ram against Andy Murray and Feliciano Lopez in the doubles tomorrow.
East Putney or Putney?
Oh, how do I know? It's all the same, isn't it?
Right.
Brisk walk and you're across it.
I've never seen him in the Exchange.
No. But, well, frankly, you wouldn't have known if you had anyway. You've probably been shopping next to him for the last four
years.
I'll
try and get his exact address.
Okay, now we're going a bit far.
David's the one that's been watching him on CCTV.
Right.
Oh, God.
What else is going to happen over the next 24 hours? Who's going to... Hold on a minute.
Feliciano Lopez gets some sleep.
We should probably mention the other two blokes who played the other semi-final. Gilles Simon against...
Daniil Medvedev. For me, I mean, that's a massive upset for me that Simon won that. I've been so hugely impressed with Medvedev this week. He's just looked... I mean, just so established and so sort of comfortable and like he has all the answers. And he didn't like being in a war of attrition today one bit. And Simon just wears you down, doesn't he?
So stubborn. He's stubborn. Tell you what, he's stubborn on court and he's stubborn off the court as well.
Because Medvedev had said before the tournament, well, no, actually before this match, he said, I like grass because you get short rallies. And then he found himself. And then he found himself on a grass/clay court because they were playing. There was a 43 shot rally in the tiebreak and a 49 shot rally, I think, in the second set.
Greg Rosetsky says he's never seen that on grass before. A 49 shot rally. He is prone to hyperbole, so it's unconfirmed. But I mean, the point still stands. He's watched a lot of grass court tennis, and he was literally jumping out of his seat
And it's also it really shows how pure and how amazing the grass courts are here, that you can even have a 49 shot rally on it, because there were no dodgy bounces or anything like that. The ball, it was playing true, and it felt like
on day six
it felt like clay or more so maybe hard court, just this slick surface, and it was like watching the same point on repeat the whole match. I mean, every time I looked up at the screen, they seemed to be just sort of trading ground strokes. And
is that a tough watch?
Yes,
for you?
It is. Any sort of match that is not a contrast of styles, I find difficult. Yeah. Like Raonic Lopez yesterday, I didn't particularly enjoy, but Lopez Felix Auger-Aliassime today was great. I just think you need that contrast.
Yeah, it was like it's like 2002 Wimbledon, when we ended up with Hewitt Nalbandian in the final, and for sort of 20 similar. Years, everyone had been saying, oh, this serve and volley, you know, serve-dominated tennis, this is a bit boring. Why don't they slow the courts and the balls down a bit and see what happens, see if we get a few rallies in there. And then a load of rallies happened in the final. Everyone went, oh, no, this was a terrible mistake.
It's a bit like when it's too hot.
Yeah.
It's too hot tomorrow. Oh, I'm not even, it's not even tomorrow yet. It's already too hot.
Why won't it rain? Yeah, it was a bit, I mean, I thought the crowd, it was a weird response from the crowd. They were kind of mesmerised by it. They were like, what is this that we're watching? We bought tickets for the Queen's semi-finals. What is this peculiarity before us?
I think the other thing is, I mean, and actually they were into it at the end. There was really rapturous receptions for some of these rallies because they are breathtaking, just that you're able to do what they're doing. I think the slight difficulty is for the crowd there is thinking, right, who do I pull for here and why? Towards the end, I think they started to think, oh, Simon's, you know, he's, for a start, he'd launched this great comeback. You know, he's come back in the match, and he's older. You know, there's a sort of sympathy there, I think.
And it was his fourth marathon of the week, 2 hours 29, 2 hours 4, 3 hours 20, which was the longest singles match since sort of that data began being collected. At
91.
I'm slightly concerned that neither of them will be able to walk tomorrow.
Yeah.
Not sure what your final will be like, folks.
But at least they're both in a similar boat.
I think that they can. They've got another one in them, both of them. I think it's going to be a cracking final.
Well, Lopez needs another two.
Hey, stat of the day.
One and a half, that, actually.
Yeah.
Courtesy, obviously, of Matt, is that by close of play tomorrow, Feliciano Lopez will have played in all five of the last matches on centre court.
It's bonkers. I mean, I'm not even going to check if that's happened again.
Because it's never, ever happened. The last time someone won the singles and doubles double was Mark Philippoussis in 97. He won the singles, beat Goran Ivanišević in the final, very famous final, because the ball girl thing happened. Goran felt so impotent in the face of Philippoussis' serves that he handed his racket over to a ball girl to have a go. He said, you can't do any worse than me.
Amy Kavanagh, who we brought back here 2 years ago, 20 years on.
Mm.
And then he won the doubles final alongside Pat Rafter. And Mark Philippoussis is here this year. There's something maybe poetic about it. Maybe. I mean, it is unbelievable. If you told us at the beginning of the week, Andy Murray's going to reach the doubles final and he's not going to be the most heartwarming story, I'd have just thrown something at you. Like, it's really special. It's really, really special, I think, what's going to happen here tomorrow. And I feel a little bit sorry for Gilles Simon, Joe Salisbury and Rajiv Ram, because they're the villains in the piece, aren't they? Instantly. I mean, watching John Peers and Henry Kontinen out there today, I mean, they're just normal blokes that were being hated on. You're just a party pooper, aren't you?
The good news is Gilles Simon couldn't give a toss about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was. I didn't necessarily lump all three of them in the same category of sympathy.
No, I mean, look, he just doesn't mind. He thinks he actually told me the other day that he says, look, you know, I'm on the outside courts everywhere I go. I mean, you know, I know that nobody really.
Yeah, because you so endear yourself to everyone everywhere you go.
And he's also here on his own, right? Because he said that. He said he was really depressed after the French Open, and he decided, I'm not quite sure why. Like, I feel like maybe he had too high expectations of himself at the French Open. I mean, we would have told him that he wouldn't have done very well at the French Open. But so he said he's sort of travelling in this grass court season kind of on his own, so that he just feels like he needs to be in his own company at the moment, because he's not in a position to be alongside other people, because he was felt so down after the French Open.
Oh, I didn't know he'd had such a bad time. Well,
this is why it's key to have low expectations of yourself.
I've lived off it for a lifetime. It's done me good.
Matt Roberts says, be more realistic.
Get down on yourself and you'll be just fine then, because you won't be disappointed. All right?
Well. So you physically can't hit on your own. So who's he?
Well,
he hitting with?
There's quite a good wall out there.
The wall.
Imagine that. Imagine if he went to the practice court and he said, could you just bring me a wall, please?
He wins Queens having hit against the wall all week.
Yeah.
No, I mean, he's had hitting partners. And
well, he is
partners.
The wall. I mean, yeah. What a player he is to be able to play. I think mentally, to play the way he plays.
He hit a David Law serve today.
That big.
Bounced in his own service box.
Takes skill out.
And still won.
Yeah, that's right, see? Be me.
The anti-David Law.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right. So who's going to win this final?
Lopez.
I can't do head over heart. Maybe head says Lopez as well. I don't know. I mean, head is heart in this situation, isn't it? Because
what's the head to head?
Head to head's 5-2 Lopez, and they've played four times on grass, and Lopez has won them all.
Really?
Mm. Ooh,
it's a very
that was off the top of his head, folks.
It's a very
no. There are no pieces of paper in the vicinity.
He just took that off the top of his head.
It's,
so
it's a dominant.
Where
head
are these? Where were these four matches?
I think twice in Stuttgart, once at Wimbledon, once at the final of Eastbourne, 2013.
We're looking at him.
Oh my god, he's done years and rounds.
We're looking at him as
that
though
could be wrong.
Some sort of oracle. But I mean, he's just looked up the head-to-head, Catherine, about 10 minutes ago, probably,
and retained it.
Yeah.
After a sort of 17-hour day.
All right, then I'm going Lopez.
We're all going Lopez, aren't we? We're going Lopez for the double because it's
Lopez
it's
double.
Irresistible.
Yeah.
It's complete. I mean, it's
has to happen.
I'm bowled over by the. By the story of this week, it's completely swept me up.
One and over. Like,
if you haven't been swept up by it, then go and watch Toy Story 2.
What's happened in Halle today?
Roger Federer beat Pierre Hugues-Bert,
which was a match which started 90 minutes after Medvedev-Simon. And we said, what are the chances that Federer finishes first? Because Medvedev and Simon were in the middle of their 20th 30-shot rally, and Federer got it down first.
It was convincing, wasn't it? 3-3 over Pierre Hugues-Bert. Still, I think, is that Pierre Hugues-Bert's first singles tour-level semi-final? Or certainly at an ATP 500. Mm. I think that's his biggest ever singles result, reaching an ATP 500 semi-final. And David Goffin beat Matteo Berrettini, who is one of this grass court season's biggest revelations, I think, Matteo Berrettini.
Well, Wimbledon put up a tweet about 10 days ago, sort of saying grass court contenders Matteo Berrettini, which I sort of laughed out loud at the time. But
do they mean the mix?
It turned out to be
Matt with the shade.
It turned out to be this amazing prediction because he's just torn his way through everyone. I think he'd lost.
Not
through David Goffin, but I think he'd lost one service game in like 8 matches or something prior to today.
We should invite Wimbledon to into the predictions competition.
But then they might win.
Oh yeah, bad idea.
In Birmingham, Ash Barty is on to clinch the world number one spot tomorrow. She will face Yulia Gerges
in the
final. Does
she need to win the final? Mm.
She needs to win tomorrow, and she will clinch world number one. She beat Barbora Strzelecka today 4-4. Gerges beat Petra Martic 4-4. And I'll... Oh, no. Sorry, I've read that wrong. She is not in the doubles final.
Ash Barty and Yulia Gerges walkover. They were a team and they've pulled out of the doubles.
Yeah.
They're playing each other in the singles final and they've pulled out of the doubles. Tell you what, go and have a word with Feliciana Lopez.
Yeah.
Yeah. Faint of heart.
And Gordon Reid and Alfie Hewitt have got that in the wheelchair event at Queen's tomorrow. They're playing each other in the singles.
Yeah.
And then they're teaming up for the doubles final.
Very nice moment, incidentally, just after the third match that Feliciano Lopez had played. And Andy Murray did his interview on court and then stayed on court to help Blake Hutchins, the son of the late Paul Hutchins, present the Paul Hutchins trophy to the American team who'd won this incredible encounter 6-5 against Britain. Two teams of four young juniors who were all just absolutely wide-eyed at being on the centre court and meeting Andy Murray. You could see the look in their face when they shook hands with Murray. And it was really nice of Murray to stay on the court and mark that occasion.
In Mallorca, Belinda Bencic defeated Angelique Kerber 6-4 in the third. Big win. Big match.
Bet that was a good match.
Yeah. And did Kerber win the first set quite easily?
6-2.
Yeah, so that's Bencic has impressed me so much all year. I feel like she is. I feel like a bit really big result is around the corner for Bencic.
Yeah, her loss at the French Open. Was it to Swiatek? No, some.
I can't remember.
One of the youngsters.
Sevastova lost.
She did.
Call off the Mallorca Open.
Yeah.
There's just no point.
So she lost 6-2 in the third. This is because we're talking about this because Sevastova has reached the final all of the last 3 years. So it's Kenin against Bencic in the final. Who's winning that?
I'll go Bencic.
Yeah,
but
me too.
Kenin, another one having a great year.
Federer against Goffin in Halle is the final.
We've covered that.
Yeah. What are you going for then?
Federer.
Federer in Halle.
Federer's reached 15 Halle semi-finals in a row.
It's quite a good record, isn't it?
I don't know what to do with that statistic. It's absurd. It makes a mockery of everything.
Yes.
Okay, so we've got Federer winning Halle and Lopez winning here, so that's two 37-year-olds winning.
Wow.
Again, not verified, but that's never happened before, has it, on the same day?
As you say, not been verified.
Unverified statistics on the Tennis Podcast. That's what we deal in. We've been brought to you in association with The Telegraph. We're executive produced by tennisballs.com. We love Rio with a Y. He's an excellent dog. There have not been nearly enough dogs in my week here at Queen's. I don't know where all the sniffer dogs have been. But
have you not seen them?
I saw one briefly.
Lucas and Flo.
I've met Lucas. I don't think Lucas's owner particularly enjoyed my slightly over-enthusiastic presence around his dog. Flo, though, I'm very eager to meet Flo. One day left for me to meet Flo. That's the big story tomorrow. Finals day at the Fever Tree Championships. Lopez going for the singles and doubles double.
Lopez.
Oh my, we'll be back tomorrow.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.